W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm M. Nguyen. President Biden making an unannounced visit to Ukraine. A military ceremony taking place during the president's surprise visit, which also came with the promise of $500 million in weapons and equipment ahead of the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion. ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell in Kyiv with more.
Today, Biden announcing more military aid. Russia also looking for military support. Secretary of State Blinken warning his Chinese counterpart to not supply lethal military aid to Moscow. And this morning, the Chinese hitting back, accusing the US of pressing lies and saying it was America sending weapons, not China.
The president spent about 5 hours in Kyiv consulting with President Zelensky on the next steps, honoring the country's fallen soldiers and meeting with U.S. officials. World leaders are in Warsaw, Poland. That's where Biden is headed next to mark the one-year anniversary of the invasion. This is ABC News. Back into the streets again today for Israelis angry over proposals to overhaul the country's court system. ABC's Jordana Miller has the story from Jerusalem.
For miles, a sea of Israeli flags filling the avenues leading to the parliament. Tens of thousands of Israelis from across the country pouring into Jerusalem to protest the Netanyahu government's judicial overhaul. Young and old, the protesters say they've come to defend Israel's democracy on the day lawmakers will cast the first votes on bills aimed at severely restricting the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. Many of those restrictions have no precedent in other Western democracies. The protesters demanding the Netanyahu government delay the votes, but there's no sign of that happening. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
And they're often seen as a possible preview of the Oscars, the British Academy Film Awards. All Quiet on the Western Front winning 7 BAFTAs, including Best Film. M1, ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned, not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S. Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
In Wisconsin, we want elected officials who serve our communities. We want laws that protect our basic human rights. On February 21st, there's a primary election. Let's come together to vote for judges who uphold our rights and local officials who champion laws that protect our families. Let's empower our families and friends to vote. Visit vote411.org to learn about the candidates and find unbiased election information for the primary election on February 21st. Visit vote411.org.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I've been listening to you for a while this morning with Under the Helmet. I didn't wear my helmet here, too, and I won't be talking from under it.
You know, Larry Heisel. Hey, Larry, if you're out there, man, call in. Larry Heisel, you know, the Hall of Fame Milwaukee Brewer, call in to the show this morning. We didn't get a chance to talk to him. But Larry, call in, and it's good to know you're still around, man. It's good to know you're still out there. It's good to know that you're listening, man. Out of all the people that I know, you, without question, one of the most genuine men I've ever met in my life. So I'm honored that you would take the time out to call. But anyway, it's Monday. Oh, it's not
it
Friday.
It is Monday. Yep.
Okay. So it's Sandy Williams. My co-host is here. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Larry Heisel, left field.
Yeah, Larry Heisel, left field. You know, I made
this. Was he World Series? No, that was Gorman Thomas probably back then.
That's a good question. And
I know
it was close.
I don't know. You know, baseball is not top of mind for me. So, yeah, but he might have been around that period.
Well, you know, I made the statement that you know, football is over and baseball, you know, is where I got to go now. And
you got basketball.
Football is over and baseball is where I have to go. but, you know, I'm a guy who likes action. And, you know, the 1-0 baseball game is, I like 15-10.
Mm-hmm.
Action, right? Triples, home runs, doubles, but all of these two hits. Oh, great game. He threw a two-hitter. The other guy had three hits, and they won 1-0. Oh, what a great baseball game. Not quite, you know. You go to Brewer games?
No. You just
stated without hesitation.
I don't go to many at all. Baseball. You know, it's
slow.
It is slow. And when I was a kid, baseball was low on the rung of things I was particularly good at. I had very bad vision. Turns out you have to be able to see the baseball to hit it. And it wasn't until I got eyeglasses in seventh grade that I realized that people could actually see that thing. which was a mystery to me until that point.
Sandy?
And from that point on, I did get better at baseball, but it left a bad taste.
You and I followed the same path. My vision is 20/80, and I didn't get glasses, I don't know, until 7th, 8th grade myself.
Well, 20/80 isn't that bad. Mine's like 2800.
Oh, okay.
If I can't see the floor if I don't have my glasses.
Well, I can't, I can't see anything clearly without my glasses. And so I was never able to hit a baseball.
Right.
Even to this juncture, I never was able to hit a baseball. And I remember there was a guy who was the one of the top coaches for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and back in the 60s. And he used to kind of show people how to swivel your hips, and I would swing with my arms. But I could never, even a softball, when I played on the softball teams, couldn't hit a lick. So, yeah, so baseball, as much as I respect it, just a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, well, I just remember in fifth grade that the selection on the playground process, which became sort of a humiliating self-realization, like when I watched the selection process last night in basketball, these guys are all stars.
Right.
But I felt sorry for Laurie Markkanen, the last pick, right? So, I can identify with that guy.
Yeah, but that guy, and I didn't even know of him, is going to be a great player. Oh, what is he, 17?
Oh, yeah, he's 7'1". He's the same kind of athlete as Giannis. I think the reason he wasn't picked, he's not a three-point shooter, right? This game was all about three-point shots.
Well, that wasn't a game. That was entertainment. And so I don't want to refer to it as a game. I tried to watch the first quarter of it. Couldn't even get through the first quarter. And, it's okay. So,
like I said to you off the air, every New Year's, I don't know if it's still the case, the Boston Globetrotters Harlem Globetrotters used to come and play in Mecca.
They still do.
And so I went there in high school a couple of times, and they put on a better game than the All-Star game.
Well, they still do. Every New Year's Eve, it's a tradition. They come to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And even though it's now done at the Pfizer Forum, it's still the same thing. But anyway, let's get started, Sandy. I wanted to begin our conversation with President Jimmy Carter in hospice. 98 years old. Did you know he was that old?
Well, I did, only because he's been in the news recently, sometimes with his health. Jimmy Carter, I guess he wasn't viewed as the greatest president, but I think he's probably been the greatest human being and the most dignified post-president we've had. And he's even going out in a very dignified manner. He's going, he's staying at home with hospice. He's a humble guy. I kind of think the world of him, actually. I think if the world were filled with more Jimmy Carters, we would be a much better place.
There's no question that he wore his Christianity on his sleeve. And he and his wife, even though Jimmy Carter took some vicious arrows while he was president of the United States and was ridiculed and mocked during the time he was president of the United States, he never showed bitterness, right? He never did. And that man just was just such a beautiful person.
Well, he used his post-presidency and his status as ex-president to do only good things. He got involved in Habitat for Humanity. He got involved in world peace negotiations. He got involved in solving several world diseases, this parasitic worm in Africa that causes blindness, that was a big problem and now isn't a problem at all, was eradicated. he has just he's done tremendous things in his post presidency, and whether it was I guess it might have been the fact that he was a Christian, but I think it really had to do with the fact that he was just a very good human being, his outlook on, I guess he was an evangelical. He was the first of the identified evangelicals in politics. But his version of evangelicalism was complete inclusion. You know, in fact, he's frequently in social media. There's a quote that he put out about how it was that, homosexuals existed prior to Christ and at the time of Christ, and yet he never uttered a word during Christ's life. Christ never uttered a word of negativity about them, and so he was feeling it and talking inclusively about those kind of issues long before politics was ready for it.
You know, Jimmy Carter never will forget the beating that he took when the interest rates were 20%. Or inflation. Inflation was 20%.
Well, interest rates.
Interest rates. Yeah.
Interest rates got that high, and inflation was double digit in the mid teens. But it was willfully done by Paul Volcker, and Volcker was trying to beat down the inflation that had cropped up during his period. But it had lots to do with oil.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was an article this weekend that was kind of extolling his virtues, but it also pointed out that during his presidency, in spite of those high interest rates, unemployment was at an all-time low up to that point. The economy was very strong. And so, you know, he was managing a very difficult time period. It was also 4 years in which we had no form of warfare whatsoever. We were involved in no foreign adventures.
Well, you know, Sandy, the oil embargo was taking place during...
Well, the initial oil embargo was in 73, but the oil shortages persisted through the 70s, and the oil cartel was manipulating oil prices and exercising their muscle during that whole time period. And it was an oil shortage, in fact, that tripped the wire for the inflation during his period.
So wasn't it at the time that the nation came together, and not the number one oil producers at the time, Saudi Arabia and others, I forgot what they called themselves, those people all came together and created what was the name of them? I'll think of it while I'm at it. And my mind won't let me move forward until I think of what it is.
Well, we'll get it.
Yeah,
we'll get it.
And so, but anyway, at the time, Sandy, all the things that happened, the horrible things that happened, I remember reading, and when I really found out what kind of man Jimmy Carter was, OPEC.
You're thinking of the OPEC nations.
Yeah, OPEC, right.
Yeah.
OPEC. So it takes a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, OPEC used to be pure and simply, but there's also OPEC too, and Russia is a leading member of OPEC too. And while Russia's oil reserves aren't the largest in the world, I think they're the second largest oil producer right now. So
those things happened at a time when Jimmy Carter was president, and I remember there were hostages from the Olympics.
Well, that was in Munich in 76, but the hostages that actually tripped the wire for him were the in Iran.
In Iran, yes.
And so what happened was the Khomeini revolution occurred, toppling the Shah in 79, and so he was president during all of that.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's what it was.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wasn't reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 38. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows level off around 21. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. High of 29. 8 to 14 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 27.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's get it out of the way, Sandy. It's CJ. Good morning, CJ. What's going on?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks again for taking my call. My thoughts and prayers go to the Carter family. He's a good man, but he was a terrible president. He used to be the worst one, but now we have the worst one ever. And
in your opinion, we've
it's
got to put that
mine,
on.
Earl.
It's your
not,
opinion,
not just mine. After watching interest rates, hearing Sandy talk of inflation and interest rates. When I bought my first house, interest rates were 18.5%. I got a land contract for 12.5%. It took the Reagan administration to cut taxes to allow that, but the Democrats still, with Tip O'Neill, still spent all the money. But the mere fact is that the interest rates are going to have to climb to get inflation.
So, well, wait a minute. Yeah. Just CJ, one quick question here, just in terms of defying economic logic. You think that cutting taxes is what reduced interest rates? Because cutting taxes would have an inflationary effect. I don't think anyone had the view that
cutting taxes caused revenue.
Hey, CJ? Do you also know that when Ronald Reagan took office, America was the greatest creditor nation, and when he left, we were the number one debtor nation. Are you aware of that?
Who was in control of
what are you talking?
Control of the purse? The Democrats.
CJ, just let's come down to earth a little bit. Reagan had a veto pen, and how many of Reagan's vetoes were overridden to cause that expenditure
to
happen?
I don't want to talk about Reagan.
You brought it up.
I
know. CJ, we're not going to let you come on
and talk about
what you want to talk about. I told you before, it's not the CJ show.
I know you don't want to talk about him, Earl.
No,
guy's a failure.
Hey, CJ, I'm talking. Cut him off, man, because we are talking about Jimmy Carter, okay? And that's what I mean about you coming in changing the subject, man. We're talking about Jimmy Carter and the kind of man Jimmy Carter was. You know, Jimmy Carter is still with us. And you know, Sandy, so what Jimmy Carter was faced with those rates and, you know, he was blamed for all of that. Could one man have created that situation that produced
I think it was an accident of history. The interest rates had been building through the 70s, and they actually climaxed during his administration. Paul Volcker was put into the Federal Reserve chair position, and Paul Volcker, you know, everyone now looks back and says it was a very courageous thing he did. He basically cut inflation off at the pass by driving Federal Reserve rates up higher than they had ever been. So, you know, Carter was the president during a time when all of this happened. He was also president during the time of the Khomeini revolution in Iran, which ended up being the kind of the trigger to the loss of his presidency. It's viewed at the time, at least.
You know, Sandy, it is without question what you say and what Jimmy Carter will always be remembered for by people like CJ as solely a buffoon.
Well, my point when I mentioned Carter's presidency was only to say that, yes, he wasn't controversially viewed based on the circumstances during the time of his presidency as not necessarily a great president. I said that at the time.
Right.
But since his presidency, I think he has been a remarkable human being, doing many, many great things, and lots of them meant to heal the troubles that mankind face. And so what's remarkable to me is that someone like CJ can't decide to pay tribute to that period of this man's life and wants to use Jimmy Carter's presidency as a segue to launch into a partisan argument about today's situation, when what we could all be doing is using Carter's life as an example of how it is that we could smooth over our differences.
You know, Sandy, he clearly wanted to talk about the greatness of Ronald Reagan cutting taxes. And then when I pointed out to him, when Ronald Reagan came, we were the largest creditor. When he left, we were the largest debtor. When that was pointed out to him, I don't want to talk about Ronald Reagan.
Well, the tax reduction, the trickle-down theory, the size of the deficits during the Reagan period and as compared to prior to the Reagan period, all these things beg the question of whether Reagan was a great president. There's no question that Reagan was the initiator of the conservative movement, the effective conservative movement in politics, and certainly those people who embrace conservatism view Reagan as a great president. Reagan was a charismatic guy. He seemed very likable. He was a very well-liked president, right, regardless of his policies. So, you know, but Reagan was day before yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and we are today, yeah. And what we were talking about was humanity, and I would just want to end the conversation by simply piling on the fact that Jimmy Carter he's still alive, and he's apparently decided to end his life in a very dignified manner, and the guy is a terrific human being and a very dignified man.
Well said. Got to go to break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. It's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. President Biden making an unannounced visit to Ukraine. A military ceremony taking place during the president's surprise visit, which also came with the promise of $500 million in weapons and equipment ahead of the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion. ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell in Kyiv with more.
Today, Biden announcing more military aid. Russia also looking for military support. Secretary of State Blinken warning his Chinese counterpart to not supply lethal military aid to Moscow. And this morning, the Chinese hitting back, accusing the US of pressing lies and saying it was America sending weapons, not China.
The president spent about 5 hours in Kyiv consulting with President Zelensky on the next steps, honoring the country's fallen soldiers and meeting with U.S. officials. World leaders are in Warsaw, Poland. That's where Biden is headed next to mark the one-year anniversary of the invasion. This is ABC News.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. There's a line President Joe Biden likes to use. Don't tell me your values. Show me your budget, and I'll tell you your values. You look at what Governor Tony Evers just proposed for a state budget, and you see he values kids, their education, their health and well-being. He values Main Street businesses, rural internet access, attracting young families to live and work here, and tax cuts for most of us. Republicans said it was a budget devoid of reality, but here's the reality. Republicans took most of last year off as a paid vacation because, in their view, life is good enough for them and their donors, and if other problems don't get solved or other opportunities are lost, so what? They've sat on billions of dollars in surplus that could already be helping Wisconsin kids, businesses, and workers. But that would mean they'd have to show up for work as well. Join me for Up North News Radio. Weekday mornings, 6 to 8.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In Wisconsin, we want elected officials who serve our communities. We want laws that protect our basic human rights. On February 21st, there's a primary election. Let's come together to vote for judges who uphold our rights and local officials who champion laws that protect our families. Let's empower our families and friends to vote. Visit vote411.org to learn about the candidates and find unbiased election information for the primary election on February 21st. Visit vote411.org.
Better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom, hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. So when you have someone that says government is the problem, he's basically saying that we, the people, are the problem. And I hope everyone takes notice of that and should have back in the 80s. Number two, Jimmy Carter, if people were to listen to Jimmy Carter, we would have, we probably wouldn't have had any wars over oil because he was all about solar. 1980, in the debate with Reagan, he actually talked about a national health care system, which every industrialized country has in this country, or in this world. So, Jimmy Carter. And you know what? Anybody that wants to criticize Jimmy Carter better also criticize Jesus Christ, because of the fact that he lived his life and lived as Jesus Christ being his role model. They all like to talk about being a Christian, but do they actually walk the walk? Which they don't. But Jimmy Carter did, and that's what I try to do with my life, is try to live in the footsteps of Christ and try to act as Christ would have acted. But Jimmy Carter is one of those people that does so every single day. We always say we want this perfect president. Well, you had a perfect president, but you know what? You had enough people that were still trying to bring him down. And then you have, in the 80s when Reagan had them hold the hostages until after his election. So, there's a lot of stuff here that needs to be unpacked. And when people call up and say, I want to talk about the current administration or whatever it is, you know what? If you want to blame Ronald Reagan was the person that actually put taxes on your Social Security. Before that, Social Security was not taxed. He taxed it. Ronald Reagan was the one, like Earl said, that made us from the biggest creditor nation into the biggest debtor nation. Ronald Reagan, George Bush the first, not George War Criminal Bush, but George Bush the first, said that trickle-down economics was voodoo economics. So, people should have listened to it.
So Tom,
so, yeah.
The only person who has that revisionist way of looking at things is CJ, man. We don't need to,
Well, he speaks for a lot of other people, though, Earl. That's the thing that's really scary about it, is that it's not just CJ, but it's the people that are in the mega crowd and people that, still are part of America. And I hope they wake up and realize, what being a actual person that when you walk the walk, you talk the talk.
So Tom, thank you, man. We're going to move on. Let me ask you, Sandy, you talked about, I want to talk about the national debt right now, because, 31 trillion dollars, 1991, I think it was $4 or $5 trillion. And I remember talk about what that meant, $4 or $5 trillion back in 1990s, that debt was going to be an albatross around the necks of the American people. For those of us who don't know and don't understand why that debt, who we owe it to, and why it's being financed by people, either in short-term or long-term instruments, and the American people themselves who are paying taxes and who don't have any control over what that debt is. Let's talk a little bit about how we got to that point, and how I hear people say sometimes, well, we can sustain more than that. We don't have to worry about it. Well, if we went from, in 1991, $4 trillion, to now 2023, $31 trillion and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter?
Well, it certainly can matter, and I think what you have to do is try and think about the national debt and put it into terms that we can all understand. Okay,
why you're here.
The national debt is something like our mortgage. Okay, and most everyone who owns a home has a mortgage. My dad bought the house I grew up in 1941 for $9,000. And if he was going to have a 60% mortgage on that, he would have had a mortgage for $5,400. Okay,
And that would have been a good size mortgage on a house.
1941.
1941. Now, in 1975, that house was maybe worth $275,000. Same house, but the value of houses had flown up that much since 1941. And that $275,000 house could have a $165,000 mortgage on it and be just fine.
So
the family could be just fine.
So let me ask you, because I'm going to forget this.
Okay.
So it went from $5,000. Mm-hmm. To 275,000 based on what?
Home values go up because of inflation. You know, the value of the dollar goes down. So in 1941, you could buy a candy bar for 5 cents and it was a big candy bar.
Right.
Okay. And in 1975, the candy bar you could buy was going to cost 90 cents or a buck and it was probably smaller.
Right.
Okay. So the value of the dollar had gone down, you know, materially in the intervening 33 years or 35 years. And so that had a big effect on the value of homes. Also, incomes had gone up. When my dad bought that house for $9,000, his income was probably $15,000 at most. And so, you know, his income by the 1970s had gone up, I'm sure, into double digits and
right.
probably north of $50,000. And so he could afford a bigger mortgage because his income. And now, let's go over to the country. The country's version of income is related to the gross domestic product, which is the value of all of the goods and services produced in the economy. And that's called the GDP. And the GDP is measured every year. And the GDP from 1941 until 1975 undoubtedly went up tenfold at least, maybe more. And so out of the GDP get paid the taxes. So the GDP is the basis for the revenue that is derived into the government because most of the sources of the GDP are entities that pay taxes. So when the GDP goes up, the revenue, the earnings of the government goes up, and the government's capacity to carry debt goes up. And so what people have long said since the Keynes economic revolution, the John Maynard Keynes, who was the guy who basically sanctified deficit expenditures during the Depression, ever since then, people have said, well, we can sustain debt every year. We can have a deficit every year so long as it's small compared to the gross domestic product of the country and so long as our national debt doesn't grow faster than our GDP, then we're certainly going to be comfortable. Well, what's happened more recently is our gross domestic product has not been growing as rapidly as the national debt. So the national debt has become an increasing percentage of our gross domestic product. So what's happening basically is a family with static income has decided they're going to take on a bigger mortgage each year. And so our mortgage goes up and we begin to take a greater financial risk with respect to the size of our debt because our indebtedness is increasing as a percentage of our gross domestic product. Economists basically think that today's percentage is not dangerous. But at some point, it is true that our national debt could become too high a percentage of our gross domestic product, plus the fact the cost of servicing that debt, meaning how much does it cost us each year to pay off the debt that comes due and the interest in all the outstanding debt, which is exactly like our mortgage payment. What does our mortgage payment look like annually? And with interest rates going up, if interest rates go up a great deal, the cost of servicing our national debt will go up a great deal, and the servicing of our debt will become possibly an albatross around our neck in terms of the burden on our national budget each year.
So what did the economists in the early 1990s, 1980s, late 1980s know differently than the economists today? Because those economists in the late 1980s and early 1990s saw this as a catastrophe. And at the time, they weren't saying, well, it's something we can live with. They were making overtures that this was almost the death knell for our country.
Well, you know, the size of our debt on an absolute basis sounds horrendous, seems horrendous, and there has long been a dispute amongst economists as to how big a percentage of our GDP we can support as our debt, and how big will our debt become when it actually becomes a burden on our financial status, on the economy in the country, and on the strength of the nation. And so that's been an ongoing, and yet what's happened is our politicians have caused us to start learning more about this, because we're going deeper into debt than we thought we could or
ever
should.
Would, right.
Yeah. Now a lot of this debt was accumulated since 2008. I mean, there was a bunch accumulated. Unfortunately, during this time period since 1990, we accumulated a fair amount of debt during periods of prosperity. The only period of our presidency in which our debt went down was for several years during the Clinton administration,
right,
when the economy was booming, and we used discretion not to reduce taxes, but rather to start paying off debt. And ever since then, we've gone into debt. During the Bush second administration, we fought a war. We had a booming economy for most of that time period, and we annually incurred bigger and bigger debt. At the end of his administration, our economy collapsed. We had to bring ourselves out of a deep recession. And during the Obama administration, we were essentially in deficits, as we were during the Depression, to save our economy from a financial collapse.
So the debt then is financed through various people from across the world,
bonds,
or even bonds?
Yeah, the federal government issues securities, bonds.
Short-term, long-term?
Long-term and short-term bonds. And those bonds are in turn bought by American citizens to put into their investment accounts. They're bought by foreign governments. They're bought by corporations, domestic and national, who want to hold dollars and want to get some kind of a return on the dollars they're holding while they're waiting to use them. China holds an immense number of dollars, and they hold those dollars in the
Japan,
form of debt.
I think Japan holds the highest, still even today, the highest number of those bonds.
Right. And so these bonds are held by anybody who's holding dollars in expectation of the use of those dollars. And a lot of the reason we're able to sell these bonds is because we are the world currency. And so people who transact lots of world business want to have dollars, and they don't want to convert the dollars back into their currency back and forth, because they might, the currency exchange rate might go work against them in that case. So they just hold dollars. They invest in our bonds as a way to basically store their dollars.
So let me ask you, Sandy, so as the debt continues to accumulate, the more that has to be financed by separate entities. And if it's short-term bonds, they have to be paid off. And it creates an environment for the American people that this is going to hurt the American people. Certainly, at some point in time, the more debt you accrue, at some point in time, it's got to be paid off.
Well, yes, and so what we really should focus on is what rate is our GDP? At what rate is our gross domestic product growing? And we should try to be careful, I think, to keep our national debt from growing at a rate that exceeds the rate of growth of the GDP. And we need to take into account in that analysis the interest rate and the direction the interest rate is going, because that will affect how much it costs us to service our debt. And if the interest rate is high, then we can tolerate a lower percentage of our GDP as
well. So hold the thought, Sandy. I want to come back to that. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Mercy Family Practice in De Pere salutes emergency first responders, law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics for their professionalism, commitment, and bravery. Let's aid our heroes by having home evacuation plans and learning CPR. Our first responders are the backbone of our country. Selfless heroes who deserve our admiration. This message is from Mercy Family Practice in De Pere, always caring for our families. Call 920-374-1990, a shining example of why our community is strong.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 38. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 21. High of 29 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies. 8 to 14 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 27.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I really am, and you're an economist, and so for people who are economists and others who understand, the average layman, we don't understand any of these things, right? As your favorite words, complex, complicated. And yet, we are looking at a time that right now certain things are going to be happening. I don't care who the president, the next president is. The next few years or so don't look to be, you know, the brightest.
Well, that's a scenario. You know, right now we've been on this course for several years now where we look forward. We've been in a long-term
growth rate.
The market went up quite a bit. It's gone down some, but actually a fairly small percentage. It's still 34,000 thereabouts, you know. And so it's still a much higher than it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and so we've got a situation in the economy in which we're at the brink. We're always at the brink of a change, a shift in gears in the economy, because there can always be a recession on the horizon. There can all, and after the recession comes, presumably, a new growth period.
Yeah.
And so the question is whether the sun, the moon, and the stars, how they're going to line up, and are we going to have a recession? You know, I've said for a couple of years now that the sun and the moon and the stars line up in a direction that looks like we could be heading to a recession. More recently, I've become a little more optimistic, and it's really driven by the fact that employers seem to be treasuring and nurturing and protecting the human capital labor market. They aren't laying people off at a very rapid clip because of how they got their feathers burned with the shortage of labor during the growth period that came on in the post-pandemic period, when shortages, particularly shortages of labor and shortages in the general manufacturing sector, caused them to leave a lot of money on the table. They couldn't make the things or do the things that people were asking them to do and offering to pay them to do. And so now they don't want to put themselves in that position again, and layoffs are occurring much more slowly. If we can harness inflation, and you know the Fed is talking about aggressively about how they're going to do that, part of the reason for doing that is to nip the inflation psychology in the bud. And the problem with inflation is everyone talks about it and tries to figure out in the future, whether it's going to occur, whether it's going to go up or down. It is important that we nip it. It's important that we don't let inflation come back, because a resurgence of inflation would tend to embed an inflation psychology into the economy and make it even harder to quench it. Okay, but right now I think that the economy is suggesting that the inflationary spiral is being quenched. It isn't totally drenched. It's not done. But I have hope that actually it's moving in the right direction.
But Sandy, if globally inflation is a problem, eventually it swallows us up too, right?
Well, inflation, it depends. The inflation that seems to be a problem in the world, it involves commodities, food, and energy supplies, oil and gas. Those kind of inflations caused by shortages aren't as troublesome as the inflation that comes on when the world becomes awash in money, okay? And is able to bid the prices, not just those things up, but everything else. In a circumstance where some things are going up in price and people's budgets get stretched, for instance, if your budget is stretched and you have trouble buying gasoline and food, you aren't going to buy a car. You aren't going to buy the new washing machine. You're not going to replace your television. You're going to do some things to penny pinch. So you've got offsetting circumstances that can quench inflation in that fashion. So right now what they look at is core inflation. And core inflation is that thing which excludes these commodity shortage things and looks at other things. And the core inflation is still too high. It's in the 5% range, but core inflation has been going down. And what we all ought to be watching is core inflation, because that's the price that we're willing to pay for that stuff other than these acute shortage stuff like oil and gas.
So the world is not awash in money. It's just not.
It's not awash in money right now. And the economy in Europe is suffering inflation quite substantially. But also, for instance, I think the German economy has technically been in recession. And we're beginning to see economies in Europe suffer to the point of experiencing recession, meaning a shrinking GDP.
So after it's all said and done, it's still kind of unpredictable. There are signs actually going in both directions, and nobody can really predict what the outcome of it is going to be.
Right. That's probably the situation every day, all the time, that you can't really predict what things are going to be. But I think at points in time, it becomes clearer where we might be headed. But what we can say is that almost every sharp recession we've had in the last 30 or 40 years has happened by surprise, okay? We wake up and all of a sudden we find out that this set of events that we should have recognized but we didn't has come upon us, and that's what the 2008 recession was all about. You know, the boom in prices, houses, all these various bubbles that were ongoing were sort of going unnoticed until they were noticed too late.
You know, always hear about bubbles, 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 and you just sometimes wonder, okay, so these great economists who are aware of bubbles, they know things shouldn't be where they are. They seem to be surprised when the bubble breaks. The stock market's a prime example. It's still where none of us would have ever imagined it is 5-7 years ago, 6 years ago, and it just does not seem to be on a decline. That's a bubble that...
Well, bubbles are defined after the fact, not before the fact, because in some respects, and this is kind of a philosophical statement, it's a bit like saying that none of us exist other than by our perception. Everything only has a value that is ascribed to it by a potential buyer. Your house is only worth something because someone will buy it from you for a price. If all those buyers evaporate, your house is worth nothing.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Bye, boy.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.